Hey, now, welcome to the City Off Campus podcast with your two favorite hosts, Sammy Sommerfeld and Jack McFarland. So today we have a little bit of a different type of podcast where we're not diving into Chicago Bears preseason, the upcoming season. We're not talking Hawkeye football just yet, but we've come up to a sentimental moment of the City Off Campus history. It's our 1 year anniversary since we last launched the pod. Jack, in this sentimental time, how are you feeling right now?
It's crazy to think that it's actually been a year when you put it in the words like that. It feels like this has just kind of became a part of our life where we just kind of like every day, just think of it, do something every other day, record whatever. Like we never really thought a year ago that this was still going to be something we'd be doing and growing and like with giant ideas and goals still in play. So it's like, it's really cool just to take a step back and think of like everyone we've had, everything we've talked about, all of the news we've broken. Like, it's just, it's really cool. Never really thought we would do this after, you know, starting with the radio station and having our show like twice and then having it canceled because of COVID. It's like, look at us now. We never expected it to get to this point either. So you guys are just as much along for the ride as we are.
Yeah, for sure. So a little history on the City Off Campus. It actually started as The City, and it was a radio show on KRUI at the University of Iowa back in October 2019, Our sophomore year. And so the history behind that, I get a random text over the summer from Jack saying, yo, you want to do a radio show this year? And I was like, sure, why not? Like, what's the harm? And so kind of what that stemmed from was Jack's obviously a Sox fan. I'm a Cubs fan. Me and him, our freshman year, had a lot of debates over Chicago baseball, Chicago football, Iowa State, Iowa sports. There was a lot of discussions had over that first year. And we teamed up. We called it The City. And we did a once-a-week radio show throughout the fall and throughout the spring until COVID hit. And early on, we thought about doing a podcast, and it just felt like this daunting task of like, how do we get equipment? How do you even record a podcast? How do you do this? How do you do that? And we kept pushing it off. But we always kind of knew it would be the next milestone or the next step, especially with where media has evolved. And so COVID kind of forced us in August when we were still in quarantine, living at home, and we were just kind of like, what's next? Like, we can't go to the studio. So we were like, let's do the podcast. So we started off, we didn't even launch on the podcasting platforms. We actually put our first like three episodes on YouTube at first, and that was all we had. And we launched an Instagram later on. But it's crazy because earlier on, we started coming up with like bigger ideas that we're now executing, but we were like, there's no way. Like, our whole theme of the podcast was we wanted to talk Iowa sports, we wanted to talk Chicago sports, and we just wanted to have a fun debate show. That's all we saw this as. But six episodes into the podcast, we ended up just starting interviews, and we kind of went from there. And the podcast went from us just having fun and debating, where that's a huge part of our show still, to us telling the stories of all these athletes and all these people in sports and trying to give these people a platform.
And I think what really made it real for us was, I don't know the exact episode number, I know it was within the first 10, it was when we got Keith Duncan on the day that the Big 10 came back. And that for us was like a moment where we had felt like we belonged, like we are doing the right thing. We're like attacking a story that is very current for everybody. And we're not just attacking it as like reporters who just want to get like basic facts. Like, we talked to Keith about like who he actually was, and everybody just knows him as that sweet clutch kicker that has so many cool wins. But like, what goes on in his head? Like, what goes on behind the scenes that people don't know about Keith? And that was like, that interview for me was really eye-opening, because that's something that I think we've taken into every interview with every athlete, former athlete, business executive, whoever, where we don't really just want to talk about like who they are and what they do, but we also want to know like just anything, you know, like there's really nothing off limits. Think. We want to know the how and why, and not just like the surface level stuff.
And that's who they are.
That's something we've really, you know, taken pride in, I guess you could say, especially with a lot of the relationships we've formed. It's something we want to continue and take to the next level, especially with college athletes getting more of a voice. That's something that we want to be there for and be on the forefront of, you know, giving these athletes the opportunity to speak or say whatever they want, whenever they want.
Yeah. And I think one thing with our podcast that we've really worked hard on is the relationship aspect. We've put a lot of time into building relationships with athletes, with professionals in sports business. And it's really kind of shown in our content. Like, I want to give a shout out to Ty Snapp. I mean, he's a guy who came on and neither of us really knew him. But once he came on, immediately a friendship formed. And with that, our content has grown as that friendship has grown with him. And there's been so many examples of that with different Iowa athletes and with different people who have given us their time. And we really value that. And when people give us our time, you know, I talk to Jack about this a lot. Our goal for our platform is to be the platform athletes want to be on and enjoy being on, and they want to share their stories on. And we want this, you know, we're trying to grow this podcast now to be a thing where students tune in. They want to learn from the business professionals we bring on, the media members we bring on, and they want to hear what their favorite athletes have to say.
And the other thing to go with that is, like, we don't want the content just to be like drowning out and like boring. We've always had it in mind to be tailored from like a college student perspective for the college student. And that's something that we've always harped on, because especially in the podcast world, there's so much information, so much content. You don't want to get drowned out. And Sam and I felt there really just isn't a strong, like, what am I looking for? A strong, like, I can't think of the word, of congregation of like a strong voice of like a college podcast that has people their age, their own type of person on
that
and
reflects
like talk.
What the college student thinks and believes.
So it was really, it was an interesting opportunity we saw a year ago where we were like, we don't see this very often and we want to get our nose into this game because we think this industry is popping off, and it is. Like, you see how many people getting mega million deals to go exclusively have their content streamed on like Spotify. Like, we're nowhere near that, but that's what this industry has the capability of doing. And I don't think you or I or anybody who really listens to podcasts had that in mind 4 years ago when podcasts were like just on like the tip of the iceberg of knowledge.
For sure. And like the way we've gone about building this podcast is, we're very genuine to who we are, and we only make content that we really believe in. And you'll see a lot of content out there where they follow the trends and what's, you know, the hot take, whatever. And there's some of that in our content for sure, because we enjoy doing that. But there's nothing that we say that we wouldn't support or back up, or, you know, later on if we re-listen to it or somebody came to us about it. You know, I know guys who have come up to me like, how do you say that about Jay Cutler? How do you say that about this or that? And I'm like, that's what I believe. Like, I stand by that 100%. And what people will see with our brand over the next couple months is we're going to be posting a lot more content. There's going to be some big announcements coming out soon. And the brands we've aligned with the past, the brands we're aligning with in the future, they're all brands we believe in and we genuinely like and we use or we love to be a part of. And that's one thing you don't see a lot with podcasts nowadays, is people being selective on who they work with and who they partner with. And we take great pride in showing, you know, the brands we're with, like Estella's, that's my favorite burrito place in Iowa City. Like, I will vouch for Estella's even if they weren't a sponsor of our podcast. And that's kind of the types of stuff we do, where we're very thoughtful about what we do. And we're fortunate that we're able to work with brands that we truly believe in. Because there are podcasts out there, and Jack knows, we're going to dive into this later. There are podcasts that just get any ad sponsor they can. They do the ad read, but you know, listening to the ad read, they have no clue what they're reading. Compared to us, we really try to show, you know, not just the business we might be working with or the person we're interviewing, but we show that we actually care and we're passionate about it.
Definitely. And to kind of dive into, we wanted to talk as well, not just about like our like 1 year anniversary and kind of like looking back and explaining kind of our thought process and like why we're doing all of this. But I'd say what kind of propelled me into the internship that I landed this summer with the Believe Podcast Network, I did audio and production, was doing this podcast and seeing like the real capabilities there are. And one thing Sam just talked about was like actually believing and being about like those brands that are you're in business with. I was in charge of tracking a lot of the advertisements for all of the shows on the network and 250 or so. And there was one, I'm not going to trash this ad, but like there was one ad that they had every single month. And it was just like, they had the script for this ad and they read it every single time. And I would have to like look for it in the episodes, write it down, whatever. But the reads, like I would say over 60% of them, they just were not convincing that like they believed in the product or even they like used the product. And it got to the point where like, it just sounded like dead air. Like someone's just going to skip through it. Like the ad doesn't sound like you're enjoying it. You're enamored by it. You use it every day. It's something that you would refer to everybody. Like it just sounds like something that they have on there because they want to pay bills and make money because that's how you monetize your content. And I'm like, you know, I take a step back and look at what, you know, we're trying to do. And it's completely the opposite. Like we want both sides, both parties in this partnership to be successful. It's not like we're just taking and taking and taking and not giving back. So that was something I really like took away from my internship was there's a lot of people who just want to write, you know, just sign or write their bills or whatever and just make money from their ads. And it's like, do you even really care about the product? Because to me, the consumer who's listening, I need to know that you care. And like, you would put your neck on the line for this product. Like, would you cut your left ball off for this? Cause I would, like, that's what I would say. And a lot of people just weren't going to that degree to like really make it seem like it was personal to them. So.
Yeah. I think before I dive more into internship stuff, looking back at this, you know, 1 year, two of us doing this podcast and where we're headed in this next year was crazy is seeing the people who engage with our content because Jack and I did a radio show for a year where we were basically on dead air where it was basically like, you know, our friends and family would listen, but we knew nobody else was really ever listening to our show compared to, you know, we've been in Iowa City and random people will come off to us every now and then just saying like they appreciate, you know, what we're doing. And, you know, we're not in it for that, but it's been really cool to see faces to the analytics we get. And I think a year ago, if you would have said to either of us that people would come up to you every now and then to talk about the content you create or message you about the content you create or, you know, engage with the content you create, we would have been like, no way. Like, how would we have done that? And one thing I would advise to anybody who wants to create content, wants to start a business, whatever, is like, if you have the vision for it and you actually have the passion and you have the, not just dedication, but you have the like ability to actually focus and go for it, the drive, go for it. Like, don't let, you know, your fears like prevent you from going for it. Because if you fail, the worst case is like you tried and it's an experience you learn from. Like, I think for us, like we look at the bare minimum of every situation. Like for us, we look at this as a podcast where we were going to talk sports and vent. Like this was for us to vent and have fun and build a body of work. And now it's become a thing where like, we're able to take it more seriously and we're super, you know, it's part of our lives day to day. We're always creating content. We're always brainstorming. We're always thinking about that next step. And for us, we've just been in a place where we put our nose to the dirt and we're just like, we're going to work at this. And there were moments like for us, like back in November, there was a point, there was a couple week period where we were doing like 3 to 4 podcasts a week. And this is in the middle of big projects for school, finals, all this stuff. And we just grinded. And it was, yeah, Jack had COVID during the period of us doing like me, like we were booking podcasts back to back to back. And now it's like from that 2 week period, it was like the biggest like turning point, I think, for us, where we were able to just develop a process of when to record, how to build the relationships, how to create quality content that we really believed in. Cause I think one thing too is early on for us, you know, some of our friends followed the account would chirp us a little bit, just saying, oh, you have a podcast now, you're a big shot, blah, 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 blah. But now like people come up to me and they're like, you know, out of my friends at least, and they're like, when's the next episode? Who are you having? Like people are just into it. And a lot of that, like I credit to us just with us being serious about it, like not letting that, you know, defeat us or, you know, that type of thing. And I think to anybody out there, like, even if you're starting something early and it doesn't look like anything, if you have the vision, it's going to turn into what you want it to be.
Definitely. Like, that's one of my favorite stories is how, like, I'm not going to go into too big of details of it, but like potato chips were made by accident. It's not like the guy tried to make potato chips. He was trying to like piss off a customer, and it turned out creating the greatest snack we know today. So you never really know what you're going to create until you put your mind to it and actually do it, whether it's good or bad. That guy had malice in his mind. He created the greatest, you know, snack ever. So point being, don't not do something. Like, I'd rather say oops than what if, and that's a motto that a lot of people in my friend group, a lot of guys, will resonate with. You don't want any regrets in life, and the best thing you can do is just say oops, because worst thing you're going to do if you put yourself out there is maybe get rejected, and then you have to like regroup and go do it again. You're still breathing, you're still alive. Like, that's at the end of the day, you get another opportunity to do it, and that's all that matters. So it's really been a goddamn pleasure to like work with Sam and like create all this content for you guys, because it, truthfully, like, that is where our passion is to entertain you guys, share information, talk about whatever the hell it is, because we want to just share laughs, happiness, good vibes. Like, that's our general idea, and it takes you guys receiving and absorbing this content to really make it, you know, worthwhile. So we can't thank you guys enough for really hanging with us for this year.
No. Yeah, for us throughout the year, as we've looked at the metrics, you know, of our downloads, you know, we've been listened to in multiple countries, which is insane for us to get our mind wrapped around that we're listened to. Like, in the middle of a pandemic, our voices are traveling across the globe, basically. Like, we've been in multiple continents. It's crazy to see, you know, multiple states. And like, it's been a, you know, obviously it's been great to work with Jack, of course. I mean, you know, one thing that's really interesting about our relationship too is we're a very good pairing of, you know, we have a really good team dynamic of where my weaknesses are, he has really big strengths, and where I kind of focus my strengths, you know, that's where he kind of focuses less on. And it's been really easy, I guess, for us. Like, you know, we were friends before this, but to really partner up, because, you know, for me, I started a startup back in high school, and the original partner I was with, we just kind of clashed a little bit. We had very different views of how to do this and how to build it. And me and Jack, it's just whenever one of us has an idea, it's like, bet, let's do it. Like, it's almost, we, you know, we just have that joint vision, and it's made it very easy. You know, it's been a grind, but it's made it very easy to work with someone who shares that vision. And I really appreciate that. But Jack, reflecting on some of the episodes we've had, who are some notable guests that were big moments for you, or that you got a kick out of interviewing, or they said something? Like, what's some, like, name a few episodes that were kind of highlights. And I'm not going to do a ranking order, because we don't rank our guests, but like, you know, what are some moments where you're like, this was huge, you know, like, so, or this was so exciting?
I think interviewing,
and I've got a couple.
Chuck Long was really cool, because he's the closest we've gotten to the Heisman Trophy. He's one of the greatest Hawkeyes ever. And he was one of our first Hawkeye football players we got. So to have him like really catapulted us and like gave us a boost of confidence I think we needed to keep going after other guests. Another one that I personally really enjoyed was the Jay Hilgenberg one. Obviously Chicago Bears, 85 Bears, Super Bowl champ, he's the man. But just all of the characters and personalities that he was around, and he never minced words. He always told us how it was in the locker room, or just anything. He didn't sugarcoat anything, and he really he gave it to us straight. And it was really cool to hear about kind of how all of how their culture was set up by Ditka, and, you know, locker buddy with Walter. It was really cool to hear all of that. But the one that I honestly really enjoyed was the Brooke Beerhouse one. And for her to come on and change my perspective completely on something as simple as like coffee kind of opened up my mind to just how ignorant I can be about such simple things, on how like sharing a cup of coffee with somebody or just doing that like goes such a long way. And like, for someone to feel comfortable, or just to have a conversation, or just do anything, share who you are. Like, that's, for me, that was a really, really interesting perspective from her. And, you know, we found her because she used to be an Iowa athlete, and she is in no means like related to athletics right now. She's living life and culture and covering that style of it. But it was that like vein that got us introduced to her, which was really cool. And that I think really personified like everything we try to do is, you know, she was an athlete here. A lot of people just kind of saw her as an athlete, but then you see her grow and become this award-winning, you know, documentarian filmmaker. And it's like, damn, that's really cool to get her perspective about something that, quite frankly, I'm a sports junkie. I'm a boy that I don't care about a whole lot. But when she has to tell me about why sharing a cup of coffee with some guy from like Africa was one of the most intimate moments of her life, I believe her. And I've like want to like experience that for myself. So those were just a couple off the top of my head. I mean, I know Chuck Long and Hilgenberg are absolute chalk picks, but for me, like I just thought that they were really cool, especially for like, yeah, everybody. Like that's a peek into the past of a different era of football.
Yeah. So I will say I do have one that's number one, and everything else is an equal.
Oh yeah, we're gonna say we're not gonna rank, but we're gonna rank one right away.
Yeah, well this is, but there's a reason behind it. It's fair. Like if people listen to this, you know, who have been on our show, they'll completely understand. My number one is Jeff Heuermann. For me, he's from my hometown. He was our moms have known each other for years and years and years, and like. I grew up like getting Ohio State shirts from her, like when she would go see Jeff play, like all this stuff. And I followed him. Like when I first started reading the sports page, like in the local newspaper, when I was like 10 years old, I was reading his high school stats. Like it was one of those things where I followed him throughout his entire career that to launch a platform like ours. And in the first couple months, get somebody who played in the NFL, won a Super Bowl, won a national championship, and was somebody who I genuinely wanted to have a conversation with for so long. That was just a get for me that checked the box.
And he let it fly.
That was so funny. And it was one of the funniest episodes we've ever had, for sure.
You froze? Did I freeze?
Yeah, you froze. You froze.
No, you froze.
Yeah. No, you froze. But I mean, it couldn't be an anniversary pod without a little freeze. But
thanks, media.
Jeff, Jeff was one of the funniest guests we had. And then I would say a few others to list off. I'd say Devin Greer's one of them, because when we got Devin, she was one of the first athletes we ever had on the podcast. But creatively as a podcast, it expanded our horizons of, oh, we don't have to just get current or former Iowa athletes. What if we get people who are going to be athletes who aren't even on campus yet and get their perspective? And that was one of the things from a creative content point of view. It really allowed us to grow, I think, later on, where we were like, hey, like we're not limited to this, this, or that. A little side story, Jack and I reached out to some platforms before we launched the podcast of like, hey, put us on your platform, because we figured it'd give us more exposure, it'd give them free content. And a lot of these platforms were like, thanks, but no thanks. Like you'd have to do this, this, and that. Like they were putting us in a box, and we were like, we're not going in a box. We're doing our own thing. And that was a little bit of a risk. Most college students start on established platforms, and we were making our own, but it's a risk that paid off for us, where we built all these relationships. And so Devin Greer was one of those where if we were working for someone else, we would not have done an interview like that. So that was one of my favorites. And to hear someone who had a year until she went to college, but already was so focused and so excited, like it brought a lot of energy to that interview. Mm-hmm. Another one I'd say is Ricky Stanzi.
I regret not saying that one, man. That was one of my favorites.
I thought you were. I grew up watching him. He brought this interesting perspective on training and athletic training with Goda, and like hearing his Iowa stories, hearing about his NFL stories, the QB rooms he was in was so fascinating to us. And he was one of our first Iowa athletes, which was just a major get for us. And he's just one of those guys who's so genuine, always happy to help, is passionate about what we're doing. And I really appreciated everything he did for us. And then a couple others I'd say would be Bobby Marks and Steve Mayer. Marks, who's an ESPN analyst, NBA draft guy, NBA free agency guy. For me, knowing everything he accomplished in his career, also another Naples guy, but seeing everything he accomplished in his career and being a diehard NBA fan that I am, and to hear the backstories on those deals and be able to ask the questions that so many people would love to ask, it was just such a thrill. And then Steve Mayer, who was a personal connection I made. He is one of the greatest guys. He's someone I talk to this day. And he's just somebody who the minute I started talking to him, just wanted to help out a college student, let alone when he heard about the podcast, he's like, I'd love to hop on. He was all in. He brought so much energy. And this is, we had him on after the NHL bubble. And this is this historic moment in time for sports. And he broke that down for us, was telling us about where the NHL was headed for that upcoming season. And it was just so fascinating because to interview somebody so high up in a sports organization like that, or a sports league, in this moment of history of a pandemic, was just one of those milestones that not many people are going to be able to say 10 years from now, 20 years from now, that they got to do. So that was just really special. But Jack, one question I have for you is, what's one of your biggest pet peeves when somebody comes on the podcast, or when we're on the podcast, somebody does something, something goes on that just irks you, where you're like, I hope this doesn't happen. I have one. And if you want me to start, I can start.
Well, let's hear yours, because I kind
of
want to hear yours.
So one of mine is dogs barking, and that's not you. I'm not talking about you. Okay. I'm talking about, we had a specific athlete on, and dogs were barking, clawing at the door nonstop. And it was just, he had terrible audio. He didn't wear headphones or anything. And it just, audio wise, it was just not our best quality, and we had nothing to do with it. And that was one of the ones the whole time where I was just like, oh man, this guy needs to get the dogs outside, needs to turn off the audio, all that. So that's one of my biggest ones. One of my other biggest pet peeves, and all love to the athletes who do this. Like, I appreciate you coming on, but I hate the logging in with their phones. I hate the phone interviews. We've had people do phone calls. We've had people do video phone stuff. Use your computer, please. Use your computer. It's just, it looks better. It sounds better. Use your computer when we call you.
I really
those are my two biggest pet peeves.
I feel like I got to cut that for a social clip just so we could put them on fucking blast. We're looking at you athletes. No, I'm just kidding. But
hasn't been just athletes, Jack.
Yeah.
Remember to one of the early shows.
I don't really have a huge pet peeve. We'll actually scratch that. Now that you say that, if you're not doing a Zoom with us and you're calling us in, like this is like Mike and Mike in the morning on a radio call, and like you're just calling in the car, I hate you. And I hope your reception's trash so I can really hate you. Because that's just like, come on, don't half-ass the interview. Just give me your time. If you really want to give it,
yeah.
I don't want to hear your voice. Give me the video portion, because we do audio and video. We're like that. But I don't know, Sam. I don't know if I really have one. I guess my pet peeve would be if I ask a question and the guest doesn't know what I'm saying. And it's more of like a fault on my own, because I'm just an idiot sometimes.
Yeah, because of how you word it. Yeah.
Definitely. So like that's more of like a, I need to work on it, but I'm going to blame them and make them the fault. But yeah, no, I really don't have any pet peeves with them. It's usually good vibes only when they come on. I will say, here is my one pet peeve. I have one. When an athlete comes on, they talk about how excited they are for the season and how they just can't wait for their home field or stadium to be packed, and we're not offered any tickets. You shitting me?
Oh.
There's my pet peeve.
Hey, well, let me be the biggest fan. Some of the athletes we've had on have offered. There have been some that have offered.
Yeah.
So we do get some of that too, which is good.
Let me be the biggest fan.
I think the thing I want to hone in on too is like, I'm so appreciative, especially of the student athletes who give us their time, but also are building this with us. Like when I talk to a lot of student athletes off the air, I tell them they're a part of this platform. Like, and we make that very evident. They know it. Like, and it's been cool to see how passionate some of our guests have been about what we're doing. Cause I think sometimes we think, oh, they're just coming on for the interview and that's going to be it. But some of them, like, you know, they hang around. Like, they're like, hey, when are you guys posting this thing? When are you doing that? Like, we're so excited and we want to be a part of what you're doing. And you don't see that a lot from athletes go to the media and say, hey, we want to be a part of what you're doing. And it just is so special to me. I really appreciate it. And to the professionals, to the journalists, to the business people we've had on, to give us your time. You know, one of the other aspects of this show that I've really tried to emphasize, and Jack's tried to emphasize, is make this a thing too, where college students can turn in and get professional advice from some leaders in the industry and sports. If you want to get into the sports industry, whether it's from a business standpoint, a journalism standpoint, and we've had some people on who are the best of the best, and they've given their knowledge and they've wanted to help. And for them to take the time and do that, I'm so appreciative. We've had guys like Seth Wickersham on from ESPN, Hembo from ESPN, and those guys had very different routes to get to where they are. But there's always a takeaway from those episodes. Like, I've listened to those. I don't like to listen to our own stuff that often because I find it a little egotistical to listen to yourself all the time. But I sometimes listen to those back and say, what can I get from this after experiencing it the first time live? And so I'm really appreciative of that. And yeah. And like, I think going into our senior, you know, Jack and I are going to be seniors at Iowa this year, which is crazy because Jack doesn't remember it, but I remember meeting Jack for the first time in our orientation group. And we were two of three guys in a group full of girls in our group. And he was wearing a Sox shirt. And I just start roasting him, of course, like, why are you a Sox fan? That's a complete waste of time. And he's giving it back to me. We talked a little bit throughout the summer. We were in the same dorm. First day of school, we had class together, sat next to each other. Jack's grinding on Twitter from day one on his laptop in class, like you would expect from Jack. And we're just going back and forth on baseball. And that's how this all kind of started. And to see where we're at now, going into our senior year, we've had these internships. I was an event marketing intern for a company called Magna Media, where they work with startups to Fortune 100 companies, creating content, doing marketing work. It was a great experience for me. But to see where we're at and where we're headed, and to see where this podcast is headed with more content to come, you know, I'll give a little sneak peek, more voices to come and more perspectives to come. It's really exciting.
That's a shitty sneak peek. Can I give a better one?
Sure.
It's live.
Well, that, but I was also saying more voices in the sense of, you know, everything else.
I know.
But yeah. There's going to be some live podcasts in the works, guys. So we'll be announcing that real soon. But yeah, so with, you know, diving into internships a little bit before we wrap this show up, you know, for me, I started looking for an internship way too early. I grind on LinkedIn. I'll say that with confidence, but I started looking for an internship like late August after my internship last year ended. I didn't get my internship until May this year, where I turned down a few other offers, but like I didn't choose this one until May and get offered it. So I sat basically for months and months, like looking for internships, doing interviews. And then I wasted all my time because then the one I picked was the last one I interviewed for. So one thing I would advise to everybody, you know, if you're out there looking for internships, if you're a college student, even if you're in high school looking for something, you know, keep your eye on it, but don't be stressed about it. Like the right opportunities will come, and you can start depending on your industry. If you're looking at media, you can start October, November, December, or spring. You know, there's not really a rush there. And also I would say too, like it's a relationship business. Like everybody you meet, follow up with, send an email, message on LinkedIn, like try to meet new people and put yourself out there, because the worst case scenario is people don't respond to you if you shoot them a message, or people don't follow up with you if you try to follow up. So just do your best to build the relationships to get to where you want to be. And I would say for me and Jack, we had virtual internships. It was a grind. It was hard not being in an office. I'd say, at least from my experience, my office was based in New York, but there were people scattered everywhere. But if you can feel connected to some of the people you work with, it makes it so much more enjoyable, makes the work more fun. And yeah, and I, you know, I was lucky. I was passionate about what I was doing, so it made it a lot easier than I think it could have been if I had another role.
Yeah, for my internship, everyone was based in LA, so it made it really difficult for me to like buy like 5 o'clock my time, 5:30, like I'm really winding down trying to like not have my eyes on the computer like locked in. And for them it's like 3:30, 3 o'clock, like they're still like in work mode. So there's like, there were times where my day was ending and theirs was still going on, and I was like, I gotta get used to that. But like that's just because of the time difference. But for my internship group, there was two other people in mine, and I was like the youngest by like two years or so. And I was really like close with one of the other interns, And then the other one just didn't seem very engaged or just with it. I don't know if she like wasn't very interested or if it wasn't what they'd like necessarily signed up for, or if there just wasn't any, you know, reciprocating, like, oh, this is actually cool, I want to do it. Like, I don't know. But it really felt like we like heavy lifted a lot of it and did a lot of the work. And that's just, you know, that's just part of it. You know, there's always going to be, like in college, when you have a group project, there's always going to be that kid that doesn't really do much and they're just along for the ride. It's the same way in like internships. Like, there's going to be that person that holds you back, and like, you got to work together and make life easier, because I the people who you're interning for are not going to make your life easier. So you guys got to figure it out amongst yourselves. And that's a big thing too, is you got to like learn how to communicate with people you really don't know when you're in those type of situations, and learn how to like effectively get information across, get your ideas across, and like say what you need to say, but not too much, not too little. That's something I think I didn't really have an opportunity to do, and I haven't really, but you know, working with people, I have no idea who they are, and just kind of bouncing ideas around like that, especially when it came to like coming up with, you know, original content ideas for specific shows, or getting guests, or brainstorming certain guests that they would like. You don't really know the person you're talking to. If you like, you don't know where their mind's going to go. So you don't like, don't not be yourself, just be yourself, just say whatever you got to do. But it is very interesting once you work with people you don't know, and you know, you got to put yourself out there, or else you're just not going to be A, taken seriously, or B, understood completely. So it was a really cool opportunity for me to get like a look behind the scenes of what we do with podcasting, especially on like a more mass grand scale, and just see how they manage 400, 500 hosts, whatever. Like, there's a lot of management that goes into it, and making sure everybody is like reading their ads and doing everything. And you know, it's a newfound responsibility that at first, like if you get an internship, you're like, whoa, this is a lot of shit. Well, it's meant to be, because you're not used to it. You're not like aware of what it's going to be. Yeah. That's where it's like you got the 2 weeks of grinding to like really feel it out, and then you'll be good. But oh no, I'd say I had a positive experience. Oh, definitely chase the discomfort. 100%. That is a great quote.
Yeah. And I think that leads into what we do, is like, we try to evolve our content and not play it safe, where over the last year, there have been times where we've had discussions, should we just do, you know, no interviews and just do talk, or just do only interviews and no talk, or do this or do that. And I think the thing is, for us, is for us to stay passionate about what we do, we always need to change up. And, you know, obviously there's always that thing, like, will people like the changes we make? But the thing is, when we believe in it and we enjoy it, we know other people will too, because that's what we're trying to build. When Jack says, like, by the college student for the college student, because that's what we truly are, and that's what we're doing. And my advice too is, be passionate about what you're working on. Find a job that you're passionate about and enjoy. Because if you enjoy the work, everything follows. The success follows, the payoff follows, like the reward of just doing a good job follows. Like, chase your passion, not the title, or the early on in your career, the financial situation. Like, chase what you will enjoy, because you're going to get the biggest payoff from that. And the other thing that's crazy too is, like, me and Jack started our first day of classes today. Like, I don't know if I said that earlier. Like, this is today, Monday the 23rd, is our first day of school. And it's also our last first day of school. And like, we're going to be going through the job process. So like, one thing we want to do is like, take you guys in there with us. Like, when we get an offer, when we decide where we're working next year, like, we want to share that with you guys and like explain to you how we did it and how we got to where we are. Cause I think, you know, a lot of universities have career centers and there's LinkedIn where you can network with people, but there aren't a lot of college students or people peer to peer sharing the secret sauce. And there isn't one recipe to that secret sauce. But when people feel like there's a few things that they can do in that recipe to execute, it makes the experience a lot more comfortable. And I think we'll be able to really, you know, help other people through that after people go through it after us or alongside us, you know?
Yeah, and just to piggyback along that little passion comment you had, one thing I took away from one of the producers I was interning under was every time we would finish an onboarding call with a possible guest, or not a guest, like a host or someone that wants to like come on and bring on their show on the network, he would always finish the call with like the media industry. And I kind of just think this is believable for any industry. Whatever you're passionate in, you got to like run and sprint and fucking go get that thing. Like it's a marathon. You got to sprint during that marathon the whole way. And that shit ain't stopping. Like you got to keep sprinting and you don't know when it's going to end, but shit, you just got to keep doing it. And that's where like, in the end of the day, you can't just say like, oh man, I don't feel like I'm getting anywhere. It's like, dude, you don't bench 225 from benching like 135 for a week. Like you need to keep working and doing it over and over and over to harness what you're good at and really do it with some vigor, with some, I want to fucking get this. Like if you don't have that, then you're never going to get handed anything in your life that you feel like you deserve. You need to go earn that shit and go get it. And the best way of like personifying that is you got to sprint that whole marathon to go get it.
Yeah. And I think one example of that for us within our podcast over the last year has been, it's been a slow grind for us, where by slow grind, I mean, we know where we want to be and what we want this platform to look like. But in order for everyone else to see the same vision, it takes weeks, it takes months, it's taken a year to get some of that recognition. But the thing is, when people have asked us early on, why does this look like this, or why do you do it this way or that way? We know why we're doing it. And we are like, we believe in it. We're all in. And when you have that all in mentality, it's so helpful to know you have to have short-term goals and long-term goals. And if you're following those goals, or you're adjusting to the circumstances that come up as you navigate those goals, you're going to get to where you want to be. For us, I think a big thing has been, you know, one little secret I can share without giving away details is we, since day one, basically, the way we run this podcast is we almost think of it as we're huge. Like we're one of the biggest podcasts out there. How do we want our content to look? How do we want it to feel? How do we want people to engage with it? And we run our podcast as if we're a big podcast, even though we know we're one of the smaller podcasts out there right now, or one of the more regional podcasts, or whatever you want to put it. But the thing is, when we've done that, we don't cap ourselves. We don't say, like we can only reach this milestone and that's the best that we'll get. We leave it endless and we say we can only keep going. And for us, I think that's led to a lot of the success we've seen over the last 6 months, where like we never said this is where we, as far as we can take it, and that's it. We always see more, and we're working short term to get to here, here, and here, but we're ready to grow and, you know, hit, you know, the sky, like, you know, wherever that is, you know, we want to, you know, win the gold. You know what I mean? Like we have those big goals set, and we know we're working towards them, but we're also being realistic about how to get there. We're not saying, oh, we're going to hit, you know, 100,000 followers on Instagram in a year. We're not going around saying, oh, in a year, we're going to get 1,000 followers. Like we know it's a slow grind, because we're realistic about how we market ourselves. We have plans in place of what are our strategies? How do we do this? And so when you have that slow grind and you have the drive to do it, anything's possible.
Right, man. And there's one quote that the greatest basketball player of all time, Michael Jordan, said at the
Kevin Garnett. Oh, I thought you were going to say Kevin Garnett.
No, a little speech at North Carolina. And he shocked a lot of people when he was wishing the team good luck. And you guys are going to be great. Nothing but the best. And then he said to the entire arena, the ceiling is the roof. Let's make it happen.
Yep.
No clue what it means, but that has inspired me no cap since. And the ceiling is the roof, Michael. And we are taking it all the way.
The roof.
I don't know what made me think of that, Sam. I just had to Google it really quick because, God, Michael Jordan was really trying to, like, inspire the people. And he just said the ceiling is the roof.
It's the roof.
I wanted that same effect.
Yeah, no, I think it hit better than Jordan, to be honest. Hit better. Now we just need the crying Jack memes, and then we're locked in.
Oh, man.
We're all set then. I need a crying Jack. You know what? I think we could get a crying Jack meme from when Mercedes hit a home run.
Yeah, he went eight for eight.
Yeah,
it was on his eighth hit. I cried. I did. It was insane.
You cried.
And now, you know what's even funnier about that? I cried in happiness for him, like feeling for how much grind Yermin had to go through. And now I wish he would never be on the team again after he retired thinking he was do some shit. Shut up, Yermin. Like, lose some weight and play the field if you want to really make the team, dude. Shut up.
He was pulling another White Sox player move, Michael Jordan, when Michael Jordan's like, I'm retiring. He was trying to be Mike. I thought he was going to go play basketball, to be honest.
Bro, I honestly think Yermin had like three shots of tequila and watched the 2005 World Series DVD. And he was like, I should be on this fucking team. And then he called Tony and said, you know what, Tony, fuck you, I'm out. And Tony gave him a call and said, kid, I mean, sir, you're 31. Shouldn't be calling you kid anymore. Shut up. And then he was like, yeah, you're right, Tony. I'm just going to come back and play baseball. It's quick aside from this entire tone of the conversation, but like, God, I don't think I'll ever cry for Yermin Mercedes or anybody like that again. That was a great learning experience.
Fast forward to Yermin like hitting a home run in the like ALDS this year or something, and then
I'll buy a jersey. Right. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. But to wrap, guys, before Jack wraps this up, I just wanted to say my final piece. We've got a lot of stuff coming that's super exciting the next couple of weeks, the next month or two. Things that we've hoped to see happen and worked hard to seeing, but things just kind of falling into place at the perfect time. We're excited to grow with you guys and watch our content grow. We're over 70 episodes in. We got year two going, and we're going to be running it back, and the content's going to be even better, more fun, and you know, it's definitely worth the listen.
Yeah, and I think the other thing that's really going to help our content is we're starting this like second season, I guess, of content, you could say. Yeah. We're starting it with Iowa football, like, for sure here. So that's like nice to have. Cause last year, I just remember there was a whole lot of like, dude, I'll even say like last year, I accepted a position to like write about North Carolina football, like University of North Carolina. Yep. And I watched their game against Syracuse.
You did.
And it was awesome. I fell in love with Daz Newsome, the guy the Bears picked. He had a punt return for a touchdown that game. But like, I was watching North Carolina football games during like college football season because I just needed a fix. And now that we have Iowa football back, we have
the boys back,
we have a lot looking up right now.
Oh yeah. And the other content to look forward to, guys, is Jack and I will be at the games. We'll be in Iowa City for the games. Like, we're back on campus. Like, that's what we are. We're back on campus
until the university kicks us off. Yeah.
exactly, which that could happen at any moment, so who knows. Like, we're just waiting to hear back. But we'll be talking about game days. We'll be talking a little tailgate action. We'll be talking about, you know, being with athletes on campus and doing stuff with them. So, like, there's going to be so much content out there. You know, going to basketball games this winter, which I'm excited for. Front row, baby. Always sit front row. So, there's a lot of stuff.
Wrestling duels.
The next couple
I even
months.
Want to go to a wrestling
game. In wrestling? Oh, yeah. We're going to be going. We got to support Spencer. We got to support him.
You know.
And the other boys, too.
We something – I don't know if we've said on air, but we've definitely said off airs. We have a goal of going to at least one Iowa home game for each sport or athlete that we have interviewed or yet to interview. So we can say we are without a doubt the most respected and coolest podcast that covers high school athletics. Or Hawkeye. Did I say high school?
Yeah, you just said high
Fuck,
school.
Fuck, dude. We've got to wrap this up, dude. We got to wrap this up. I suck. I know.
So what he's trying to say is every Iowa sport, we're going to at least one game this year. Yep. We're supporting all the athletes. We're showing them love. We can't wait to go. We already have plans. Obviously football, obviously basketball. But we've already talked to some baseball guys. We've talked to some volleyball people. We've talked to softball. We have all these other sports lined up. We're ready to go. Some of them have our tickets ready already, so we're stoked about that.
Yep.
So, you know, if you're out there, you listen to the pod, come up, say hi to us. Like, we're gonna be at the games. We hope
offer me your football tickets because I don't have any.
Yeah, yeah, because Jack's still a loyal Iowa State fan, so he refuses to support Iowa.
All right, one little Iowa State thing before we wrap up this pod, just because Sam loves
it. Are you going to talk about the top 100 rankings?
No, they have three All-Americans.
Yeah, that's insane. Well, ESPN top 100, or they ranked the top 100 college football players. Guess where Goodson was ranked?
They're going to put him at like 80 or something.
96 out of the 100. Linderbaum, guess where Linderbaum was ranked?
Probably like 97.
No, 32. I thought that was low.
Oh, that is low. Oh, yeah. Well, that's just because they don't like to give
Iowa State big, fat guys Iowa State they, the Iowa State, they had like four. Yeah, but everybody's been talking about how Linderbaum's the unanimous best line. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I figured he'd be top 15.
No, yeah.
But, yeah, so they showed a lot of Iowa State love. So the boys the boys are going to show them what's up when they go to Ames September 11th.
Yeah, that is going to be the greatest Cy-Hawk game in history.
Yeah, I think it is.
Like, I'm not going to say the game itself, but the hype before this game.
The hype. Oh, yeah.
They both could be top 10. Like, it'll be something. Yeah.
Well, I think we're going to be super resentful because I think Iowa State's going to get College Game Day twice in the time we're at school here.
I don't know if they'll get Game Day for the 11th because I read that, and I was hesitant to tweet about it on Barstool because it wasn't confirmed, but I read that they were going to do Air Force Navy in Maryland on the 11th because of the 20th anniversary of 9/11. One of those things where it's like an armed forces
game. That I respect.
And like, I didn't tweet about it because it wasn't confirmed, but
yeah.
I was going to say in the tweet, if there is any game that would take game
that's
day,
storybook.
It would be this game. And I'm totally cool with that. So I was like,
yeah, sure. Yeah, that would be the only game I'd accept. But I thought you would say like Oregon and something. Like,
no, and they haven't like confirmed it yet. It was just like a report that someone had heard something. I don't know if it's true yet, but that like, irks me a little because it would be like that Cy-Hawk game that did have game day. By the way, I'm wearing the game day shirt right now. That Cy-Hawk game that was 2 years ago now, right?
Yeah, two.
That was like awesome to have game day there, especially just that entire like environment. But that game got rained out. It was a gross game. The teams weren't as like highly touted as they are now. You'd wish game day would be there now, but beggars can't be choosers. Both teams will just have to prove it on the national level. So, I mean, and the game's on ABC. I know that for certain.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why I thought it could possibly be a game day.
Yeah, so either way, I mean, ABC.
It's going to be a battle. The boys are battling.
The boys.
The boys. I wonder if they're going to do Hawkeye military-style uniforms for that. Like, you know how Iowa has that, like, you know, uniform?
Like camo
a few years ago. Yeah, like a camo type of thing.
Did they have like digital camo?
I thought they did. Or I thought they had hoodies that were like, you know, the camo
style.
Oh,
no. I know which one you're talking about now. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I would think it would be really cool if they waltzed into Ames wearing their blackouts that they beat Ohio State in. I think that would just be
Oh, but, that'd be
but
so
I
bad.
Just think dude, Iowa's too like
dude, Iowa State would be quivering.
Iowa State would be like, we might wear our all black uniforms, and we're like, you have no black in your colors. Stop it. So, all right, true. This has definitely gone on long enough, but like we've said numerous times throughout this episode, we cannot like thank everybody listening enough to supporting us. Listening to the content, sharing it, whatever, coming up to us. Like Sam has said, we think we're the biggest hot shots in the world. We know we're not, but in order to play big ball, you got to act like you're in the big leagues, and we do. So that's how we do it. Like always, not the same time, same place. We will see you guys later.